So this is Andrea and Michelle, and we're back with Black Girls Vibe. Andrea, how's your day going today?
It's going just great. What about yours?
Going pretty well. Glad we have a chance to connect and talk through some of these sports shenanigans that have been going on here recently.
Because it's been a lot of shit.
It has been a lot. And we took a couple of weeks away, so there's a lot to cover and not a lot of time necessarily in which to cover it. But we're excited to let our audience know that we are moving to a weekly format where we're going to be providing you this content once a week. And for one episode a month, we'll do a longer, more extended format that'll involve more of the interview formatting that you saw us getting into in our January episode. So we're making those changes so that we can stay current and up to date and talk about these issues as they're coming hot off the presses, so to speak. And so, Andrea, Robert Kraft.
So Michelle.
Patriots owner.
Right.
Yeah, sex solicitation the morning of the AFC championship.
Right. So.
Thoughts?
I have lots of thoughts.
Let's hear them.
Lots of thoughts. One, just shocking in and of itself, just the allegations and the charges, just related to him, right? So just
right.
The solicitation of the prostitution, so just singling that out. And then just getting into the larger, there are more people involved, and then just, you know, just the bigger picture, the fact that this is, you know, largely part of a human and sex trafficking sting operation that or bust in Florida. So it's a lot of layers there. A lot of layers.
Indeed. And I as I understand some of the articles that have been published on this is that whatever inspector that kind of tipped the authorities off that there might be some human trafficking there. I mean, there were some pretty strong indicators, like indicators that the women were sleeping there. There were cots, I believe, mm-hmm. in the facility. Indications that maybe there were like hot plates or places where they were cooking food, like on the premises. And I guess they learned during the course of the investigation that the workers who were largely from Asia, their passports had been confiscated.
Right.
So. And a lot of them didn't speak English.
Right.
So there were some pretty, what some might say, you know, telltale signs that these women didn't have complete control of their time and space and their liberties.
Very well put, yes. Yes, I think that is definitely fair to say.
So, you know, the NFL has this thing called the public, the personal conduct policy. And it applies equally to owners in the front office management as it does players. What do you have any thoughts? What do you think the commissioner, the league, is going to do about this particular issue? Like, do you think Goodell would levy some type of punishment against Kraft?
Like, I think he just has to, right? You know, like they've. One, it's just the charges alone. If he is found guilty, I know he has pled not guilty. But we've even seen cases, like you said, just with the misconduct policy, just with players who have just the accusation alone, the NFL has suspended them or had some type of recourse, you know, not even pending what happens going through the judicial system, if anything. So I think it's fair to say, like, the NFL or he has to impose some type. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that's like a suspension of him not being able to attend games. Fine. I don't know. But I think he has to do something. And then, you know, just with the Patriots and everything else that has taken place with what, Deflategate and yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's certainly a lot to unpack there. I believe I was reading something earlier today that indicated that there's kind of a limitation on like the monetary fine that can be placed on an owner in this situation. I think it might be $500,000.
I believe it might be. Yeah, I think that's about right. And, you know, I right around the time that the story broke, and you probably heard the same thing. There were lots of conversations about, you know, will he lose the team, and, you know, what will the owners do to kind of distance themselves and whatever. But I, that part I do not see happening. I don't think it'll be that extreme.
I don't either.
Yeah. But I do see some type of financial penalty, and maybe, yeah, just a suspension of him not being able to attend the games. I don't know what else beyond that they could really do.
I think that's pretty much the scope of it. And we do have some limited like precedent for this happening in the past. When Irsay got caught up, I think, was it a DUI charge or something?
I think, yes.
A couple years back, like there was a fine and he couldn't come to the facility for so many games or whatever, or so many weeks. So there's definitely precedent for taking action. And, you know, we know that with the former owner of the Panthers, Jerry Richardson, he was basically forced to divest his interest in the team.
Right.
Like, yeah, you can't own a team anymore. Like you said, I don't think this rises to that, but it definitely, I think Goodell is going to have to do something because, like you said, he doesn't have to have been found to adjudicated to have done something wrong for this policy to be implicated and triggered. I mean, his lawyer, who's being savvy about it, has put out a statement that says he's not engaged in any illegal activity. So he's not denying having gone to the massage parlor. He's not necessarily denied getting whatever form of sexual act performed on him. He's just, the phrasing of that statement tells me that he's indicating that that's consensual.
Mm-hmm.
So even assuming that scenario where it was a consensual exchange, Goodell needs to decide if that's the type of activity he wants, whether he wants his owners getting hand jobs and blow jobs consensually in massage parlors.
Exactly. Right. So
is that okay?
I mean, the conduct
and paying policy, and paying them for it.
Right.
And paying them for it.
I mean, I don't know all like how it's defined, or if it's just loosely defined as, you know, what do they consider conduct or misconduct?
Yeah.
But, you know, but then, like you said at the very beginning, just going back to this kind of dates back to the AFC championship game. So, and you know, you and I, when we recorded our last podcast, it was round Super Bowl, and we had talked about the things that the city of Atlanta was doing, as other host cities have done, mm-hmm. With sex trafficking being, you know, on the radar. So just even if he wasn't engaged in that, just the connection between
exactly.
the acts.
Exactly.
So it's like, you have to do something. So
I agree. And I'm glad you brought that out, because, you know, the critical thing to keep in mind here is that this is a sex trafficking story that happens to involve some high profile individuals.
Exactly.
Right. And so the real core issue is the fact that there was the sex trafficking going on down there in Florida. And it seemed like it was on a pretty large magnitude. Like they had multiple shops, if you will. And I think that the women, there were, I think it was two women primarily who were implicated in it as like the ringleaders, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
it started in New York. So they've kind of been, you know, they haven't limited these activities to Florida. So that's really the important thing to, you know, like, I can't stand the Patriots. And, you know, if the petty side of me wanted to make this about Kraft, you could, but really it's more important to keep the human rights violations.
Exactly.
You know, this is a human rights issue. It's less about Robert Kraft, and it's more about the larger issue of the pervasiveness of sex trafficking, and the fact that the NFL has kind of this problematic connection to it that it can't seem to escape, although it's seems to be trying to, it just can't seem to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that probably is enough about Mr. Kraft for now. And we'll tee these things up as there's more information. I know that he's been formally charged in the last week or so. And so we'll wait to see how this kind of plays itself out.
Yeah.
On to another big NFL related topic that's occurred since our last podcast episode. Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid, for undisclosed amounts, settle and agree to dismiss their pending collusion claim or grievance against the league and all of the member teams. Who came out on top on this one, Andrea?
Oh, I think it depends on, I guess, like how you flip the coin and where it lands and if you chose heads or tails. Because you could really look at it from either side. For people who think that, you know, if Eric Reid and Kaepernick were in it for the money, then depending on whatever this settlement amount was, then sure, it's a big payout. So if that was the end game, not saying that it is, but if that's what it was, then sure, then they came out on top. But then, you know, it's not having to go through all of the proceedings and revealing all of the, or disclosing all of the information and details and documents, everything that goes into, you know, trying to continue this case, then maybe the NFL, because then they don't have to release these documents, and maybe some things that will not come to light now, maybe they're in the, on the, so who knows? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I probably, all things being to our knowledge equal, I probably lean towards Kaepernick and Reed coming out on top. And this is something, when I practiced law, I wasn't involved in a lot of arbitration as far as alternate dispute resolution. I did many more mediations and participated in those. So I say all that to say, I'm not sure that, as in the case with like litigation, I'm not sure that the arbitration proceeding records would have been made available to the public anyway. They might have been private and confidential. To the extent that there was a concern about the testimony or the documentation that might have been submitted being revealed, I'm not sure how large of an exposure risk that was for the NFL. Mm-hmm. But certainly to the extent that there was a possibility that those records would become public, they absolutely dodged a bullet by settling this before it went to trial.
Right.
I suspect that Kaepernick got an amount of money that would have made him whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my mind, what would have made him whole is him getting a contract or netting mm-hmm. an amount comparable to what lower level first tier quarterback would have earned 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
So if it, to the extent that we've heard guesstimations that it was somewhere in the 60 to 80,
I could see that.
If you think in terms of NFL contracts not being paid and quarterbacks with less talent than Kaepernick getting closer to the $100 million mark, once you kind of account for taxes in that, that probably gets you to 60 to 80. And once you take all the guaranteed, the non-guaranteed parts out.
Right. Yeah.
I think, my guess is he probably didn't get quite 100,000, but he might've gotten pretty doggone close to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I were his attorney or Mark Garagos, I probably wouldn't have settled for much less than that. You know, what's curious to me is I was positive that the NFL, and this is another factor that tells me that Kaepernick got and Reed got the better end of the deal here, Kaepernick in particular, because Reed's employed by the NFL,
right,
by a team. I was positive that there was some type of goodbye forever term in the contract that in which Kaepernick, by signing this agreement and in consideration for whatever amount of money he got, agreed to not apply for another job in the NFL or any of its member teams. I was confident that that was a term. But then Mark Garagos goes on TV within the days after the settlement is announced. It's like, Colin absolutely wants to play for another team. So that tells me there's probably not a goodbye forever clause. And if the NFL didn't even negotiate that, yes, Kaepernick, this is in his advantage.
Like, yeah. So
that's a kind of a basic term to negotiate in like anything that's supposed to be like, whether it's a severance agreement or something like that, when you're trying to kind of close something out definitively, it's a given you have a goodbye forever clause in it.
That's a really good point. I didn't think about that because, yeah, you're right. I have now paid you out this large sum of money to then not say,
go away.
Well, right. Like, I paid you, but but you can still be employed by me to earn more money potentially in the future. So yeah, when you look at it from that lens, so whether or not he actually plays again, if a team picks him up, who knows? Mm-hmm. But to still have that option available and on the table, then yeah.
It's an interesting, this is all kind of throwing, darts in the dark here, because we don't know what the settlement agreement says. But I think just trying to infer from more or less, because Garagos just loves to talk. He just loves to talk after these things. And for like the third or fourth time, he predicted, I think Kaepernick will be with the team in the next 2 weeks. And yeah, that didn't happen.
No.
And he went as far as to suggest that it would either be the Panthers or the Patriots. That was just, I thought that was an interesting thing for him to say, given my previous assumption that Kaepernick was per the agreement, per the settlement, agreed to go away and not try to play in the NFL anymore. So mm-hmm. What do I know, So yeah, those are two big things that have happened since we last convened our convos here. We have our Black Girl Magic moments. We got to shout out a black athlete.
Yes. So who do we have to shout out today, Michelle?
Well, let's give a shout out and the tip of the cap to Toni Harris, who's she appeared in a Super Bowl ad, but most notably she is, and I want to make sure I say this correctly, she's the first woman to get a scholarship and sign a letter of intent to play a position, like a skilled position, at uh-huh. a college.
Yes.
And she's from Detroit, and I want to make sure I get all this right. She's from Detroit. She's signing with, Central Methodist University, is that?
Do mm-hmm. I remember right? In Missouri.
Yep.
Yep, that's it.
She plays for a JUCO in Los Angeles. I think it's East Los Angeles College.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, I saw that she's a cancer survivor.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that. Like she was diagnosed with cancer in 14 and went into remission a year later. She plays safety.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's not just any old skilled position we're talking about here. And she's getting a lot of good press, and the Seattle Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll shouted her out, like sent her an encouraging text message or tweet, because she wants to play for the Seahawks. Like that's her. Mm-hmm. Like she wants to play for the NFL and she wants to play for the Seahawks specifically. So Carol sent her a pretty dope tweet, just encouraging her and telling her to press on. I'm looking here to see if I can find the, it says from the Seattle Seahawks official Twitter account, John and at Pete Carroll are looking forward to seeing you at the hashtag NFL Combine soon, Toni. And it's like a message he posted on, like a video message he posted on Twitter to her.
Well, very nice.
Yeah. He says, we're going to be watching her really carefully over the years and see how she develops. And we're looking for a lot of big plays. And I know she can make the interceptions. I've seen a couple of highlights of that. So we're excited about her getting in the game, and congratulations on being the first. And she was pretty geeked out about it. I could literally cry right now. Pete Carroll, thank you. Looking forward to being a Seahawk. So. Yeah, you don't often hear about, you don't really ever hear about women making it to that level at the college football, on the college football stage.
No, not at all. So, yeah, and especially, like you said, at that position, at the safety position. So, I mean, that would give a whole new meaning to kind of like the next generation of the Legion of Boom for the Seahawks.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Richard Sherman's like doesn't even know what to make of that, right? Like he's looking like it's not what it looks like, the Legion of Boom is gone from looking like Boys to Men to like In Vogue. Like what's going on? Like
exactly. Complete,
looks completely different. So yeah, big Black Girl Magic moment. Shout out to Miss Toni Harris. Do your thing, girl.
Exactly.
Good luck.
We'll be watching.
Yes, good luck doing your thing at Central Methodist University, and we'll try to continue to keep a read on you and see how you're progressing. See how you're progressing. Yeah. Andrea, have we got anything else before we shut this one down? Until next week?
No. Well, it's like it's still early in the week.
It is.
I think we're good for today.
Okay.
And we'll see what transpires over the course of the week, and we'll be back a week from now and see what's hot in the sports streets that we can talk about then.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that, you know, the Birmingham Iron played its first game a couple of weeks ago. And we have our first soccer league's first game. The Birmingham Legion is this upcoming Saturday, March 9th at BBVA Compass Field over on UAB's campus. So we got a little sports action going on here in Birmingham. So probably we'll have some things to say about that next week.
Okay.
And I'm sure that there'll be enough NFL, you know, combine stuff, and AB with his ongoing saga with the Steelers and NBA, and we're going to get into baseball soon. So, yeah, we're going to have a lot to talk about these next few weeks. And March Madness, yeah, it's about to be.
I know, yeah.
It's about to be a thing.
I know it. It's exciting.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, as always, guys, feel free to catch us on the many platforms on which we're located. And Andrea, tell me if I miss out on any: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Breaker, Stitcher, Radio Public. Did I miss any? Those are the major ones that come to mind off top.
Those are.
That's it?
I think those are. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yep. And come find us on Facebook. We have a group page called Black Girls Vibe Tribe. Come on and join us. We are constantly posting content throughout the day on various sports related topics. So come join us, join the fun on our page, and we will see you guys next week.
Yeah, we will.